Hello and welcome to The Front Page, the Racing Post show, looking back at all the hot topics from the world of horse racing. My name is James Stevens and I'm joined in the studio to discuss some of the week's talking points with Maddie Playle. Maddie, how has the week been for you?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been quiet on some aspects, but still some building blocks and some more things we've learned about some key aspects in the sport as well. So looking forward to getting stuck into them, James.
Perfect. And we are joined via Zoom from Pete Scargill. Pete, how has your weekend been? And busy writing a lot of stories, it seems, this week.
Yes, stepping in to do a few bits and bobs. No, busy enough week, my friend. Looking forward to discussing some topics and enjoying the sunshine today. I'm sorry I can't be with you today.
And you can find out a bit more what Pete's been writing, and indeed Maddie and myself, if you are a Racing Post member. So find out a bit more about Racing Post Members Club here.
Are you ready to take your passion for horse racing to the next level? With Racing Post Members Club, you gain exclusive access to the best racing insights, analysis and tools. Immerse yourself in award-winning content, from interviews with the sport's biggest stars to race previews and behind-the-scenes features. Get the inside track with early access to the Racing Post digital newspaper from 9 p.m. in the evening and daily selections from our expert tipsters. Racing Post Members Club is your ultimate ticket to the thrilling world of racing. Subscribe today and pay just £9.99 per month for the first 2 months with the code SUMMER. See the link in the video description for more information. Terms apply.
Okay, and it's to you first, Pete, and it's the old story of the gambling review. Seems to be rumbling on, so what more do we know this week?
It's the old story, but it's the ever-evolving new story, in a way. So lots of interesting developments this week. Obviously, it probably started with Michael Duggar coming out and making a very strong statement about how important it was that the checks were frictionless and that MPs and the Gambling Commission got things right in terms of this consultation that's going on at the moment. His position was supported by a couple of Labour peers that our colleague James Byrne, the Lambourn correspondent, spoke with, again saying that it's vital this is right and that, you know, we're not causing unintended consequences. Unintended consequences has been something of a running theme throughout this. But sort of most interestingly, I'd say, James, is that that's what's coming up this week. So on Tuesday, there's a DCMS Select Committee hearing in which several members of the Gambling Commission, Andrew Rose, the Chief Executive, Sarah Gardner, the Deputy Chief Executive, and Tim Miller will be in front of MPs, and so will Stuart Andrew, Sports Minister. And then on Wednesday, punters finally get to have their say right to the heart of government when the Horse Racing Betters Forum meet with Stuart Andrew. So big week coming up, and say at long last, punters being right in the heart of it.
Yeah, exactly. And it was interesting to read some comments from the HBF this week that say punters have so far been underrepresented. We've been inundated with letters and emails from Racing Post readers. And keep them coming. We really want to hear from you. And indeed, if you want to have your say on the consultation, that's racingpost.com/consultation. Make sure to have your say on the big topics. The views from punters coming in, Pete, is all pretty clear, isn't it? There's the same message. Punters are unhappy, and this is a huge issue, not just for racing, but indeed people who do like a bet.
Of course. And the dangers of the unintended consequences and getting things wrong have been spelled out in our pages for many months now, and on here, of course. It's amazing to think, really, that we could get to this point and punters can say, well, we've kind of not really been involved with this so far. It sort of is quite indicative of how the whole process has gone. Everything's being done almost at a horrible term, sort of like a helicopter level, like, you know, people are overlooking, saying this is how it should be, we think it should be like that, but actually not involving the people who it's going to affect. So that we've sought to give them a voice. Our colleague Lewis Porteous has spoken to some people who've been directly affected by this in the last few days. Very powerful stories that he's managed to put across in his articles. And just that opportunity for, you know, an educated group, a group who know what they're talking about and can represent punters, being able to put across what's going on, real life stories, real life data, you would hope would just maybe move the dial a little bit on this and just hammer home that there is genuine consequences to this, both in terms of, you know, things like the financing of horse racing and what have you, and people going off to the black market, but just people's enjoyment, people's, you know, pastime, something that they enjoy doing and want to do and are being shut out of or given, you know, ridiculous obstacles to overcome just so they can have a bet. I mean, it's remarkable, really. But it's a big week coming up, and I think the Horse Racing Bettors Forum are, you know, going on with the right attitude. They're going in to be friendly and constructive, but, you know, they also need to try and get the point across as firmly as possible that, you know, there are real consequences to this if it's done wrong.
Pete, how effective do you think these meetings are going to be, particularly with the HBF? What do you think the outcomes are going to be? How do you think that their side of the story that's finally being told is going to be received?
Well, I mean, the Horse Racing Bettors Forum are realistic in their objections. I think it's a relatively short meeting, and as much as anything, it's an introductory meeting is what they want to do. They want to kind of, you know, introduce themselves and say, this is what we do and this is who we are. And Sean Trivas, who's the chair, very well spoken, understands what he's talking about. He said he wants to take in a sort of a list of bullet points that he's gleaned from the experiences of the Horse Racing Bettors Forum, but also an online survey that they're doing at the moment. And they can put these across and just, you know, try and get the ball rolling a little bit more in terms of these real life experiences. So I don't think it's going to be one of these coming out holding a white piece of paper saying, you know, I've got a deal kind of things. But it's, you know, it's putting a face to a name, and it's putting punters into the conversation more, rather than sort of almost sort of shots being fired over their heads and them sort of standing in the middle going, hang on a second, this is going to affect us, but we've had no say in it. So it's a small step, but it's a significant step. And I'm hopeful that it'll be conducted in the right way. I mean, say they certainly speak with a lot of passion and knowledge on the subject. So hopefully they can get those points across in the meeting.
Okay. Now, Pete, we know you like a difficult question. You are the king of asking difficult questions. We know you've so many big stories over the years you've produced, and you've rattled a few cages. So now it's time that you're on the receiving end of it. Lord Lipsey this week, a member of the House of Lords, as you mentioned, said it was an even money shot that this would affordability checks would make its way into regulation. Would you take the even money shot? How do you see it going?
Well, it's a case of how these intended consequences are spelled out, aren't they? Because, I mean, at the moment, I think what Lord Lipsey was particularly referring to was these checks, you know, the background checks that take place at certain figures. And I think, you know, it's probably shorter than even money shot that these are going to come into place, you know, that there's going to be some kind of financial risk checks, affordability checks coming in. It's just at the levels, and it's how the language around it is put into place. So, you know, this ridiculous notion that we've all talked about, we all know that you could be in a positive position in your gambling account. You could have had a big winner, but if you lose a certain amount of money, £1,000, winnings aren't counted seven days beforehand. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. it's getting things like that that are going to be that need to be changed and altered to make it more realistic. I mean, there's a point that Sean Trivas brought up during the conversation we had, was that, you know, are these index linked, these figures? So as, you know, inflation goes up and people's wages goes up and all that sort of stuff, you know, are we going to be stuck in a position where these figures are still set? So everyone's got theoretically more money because, you know, inflation's got not more money, but, you know, the sums are larger, but the figures are set. So it's things like that that need to be discussed, and at the moment aren't, you know, they're almost arbitrary, it feels, these figures that are pulled out. So I'm not sure if I've entirely answered your question, but I would say that there's definitely going to be something, you know, in the around financial risk checks. It's just the levels and how much of a pain they're going to be, how, you know, how frictionless they are or otherwise. That's kind of the front that we're on at the moment.
Yeah, and a huge week, really, in what's going to happen in the Gamma Review with those two big days on Tuesday and Wednesday, the sort of meeting on Tuesday, and then the HBF give their say on Wednesday. So a big week in the Gambling Review, and make sure to keep an eye on the Race Post for all the latest updates. Okay, we're on to story two, and Maddie, you've got something from the Open weekend, which isn't too open, it seems.
No, exactly that, James. On Monday's paper, we ran a story. Charlie Fellows released a letter that we had access to, basically, calling it embarrassing that only 19 of the town's 62 yards were willing to open up their stables on September 24th. Of course, this initiative, Newmarket Open Weekend, has been going for some time now. It's also coming hot on the heels of National Racehorse Week, which has been a brilliant initiative, let's say that to start off with. And I think these open days are so popular. So it's really disappointing that, you know, these trainers are not willing to engage and open up. And Charlie labelled them selfish. He sort of said it was beggar's belief. And I sympathise with him a lot, to be honest, because it can't be an easy event to organise. You know, you're dealing with lots of independent businesses and you know, there's a lot of money and there's a lot of risk in these situations. But at the same time, as he pointed out, you know, if Nicky Henderson can open his yard on the eve of the Grand National in Lambourne, then it shouldn't be too much to ask. The likes of Gay Kellaway sort of saying, well, I always open up and it's always the same people who open up, so the baton needs to be passed around. And I know Alice Haynes came out with similar, and she sort of suggested that the weekend need to be restructured. And I clearly think that that can be looked at to make it easier to incorporate everyone. But at the same time, they have a responsibility, I think, or they should feel that they have a responsibility to showcase our sport, to, you know, to educate people. And also, I think it's a fantastic way to market yourself. You know, you potentially, at a time when racing is struggling, A, to get people out of this middle ground, you know, with people like Animal Rising on our tail, and be in the middle of a stable staff crisis, you know, show people this is how we look after our horses, this is how well they're treated. If you're a staff member, this is what sort of thing you should expect. You know, if you're an animal lover, maybe you'll fit into our workplace. You know, these are the sort of opportunities we have for you, etc., etc. James Ferguson, for me, who is one of the stables opening up, summed it up really. We're in the entertainment business. We have a responsibility as sportsmen to engage with the general public and give an insight into our sport. I think that's it. I think ultimately there's not really any excuse. I think it's sad. I think it's very disappointing. And it's quite a contrast from the jump side of things, where that sort of opening up and welcoming people in seems to be really embraced. So I'm not sure what that's telling us. Pete, I know, obviously has close, strong links to Newmarket. Maybe he can tell us more. But I think obviously there's more that can be done. And it should be said, on Wednesday we ran a story as well that five more yards are going to be opened on top of that initial 19. So 25 yards were open last year, 30 the year before. So we've got to say, well, why is that going down? Why is the desire seemingly not there? And if it is all the same people, then maybe something needs to be done. Maybe there can be some sort of rota or something like that. But it's sad. It's sad. I think these are such successful events. And you've got to bear in mind that this is a lot of money going to charity as well, and charities that mean a lot to the Newmarket community, whether it's it's the air ambulance or racing welfare. A lot of money often goes to the IJF. I just think it's very sad, really, and I feel for Charlie because it's not an easy job. And you know, I think he's brilliant with, he's been on ITV Racing recently saying about how you know, we have a responsibility to look forward and sort of control the narrative of our sport a little bit more. And I think he's done an excellent job. Well done to the yards that have stepped forward and said, oh, we'll open our doors. And to those that haven't, I think it's very sad, really.
Yeah, interesting and well summed up. I think there's two other people that will benefit from an open day. Owners potentially could come from it,
yep,
which is a huge, you know, they see the yard, they associate themselves. And also spectators. I mean, people will build their relationships from, some will come in as an avenue to the sport of betting, and some indeed may enjoy that sort of physical touch with a horse and that embrace and that sort of feeling.
This is the time of year where you're going into yards and doing sort of stable tours and things like that. And I know when I was getting into racing, Fergal O'Brien, they have very much an open door policy. You know, you just fire off a quick message and that's all you need to do. And I think people underestimate how those little things really build your relationship with the sport and make you feel involved and, you know, make you feel part of a community, essentially, and feel like you can engage with people when it's not on a racecourse setting. So, yeah, I think you and I and everyone in racing really can acknowledge how important that these things can be and enjoyable. It's fun.
It is. And I think the other thing as well is that racing is, and horse racing and looking after horses, it's it's quite a complex thing, isn't it? And for a lot of people, it's not the sort of norm. And a lot of people outside of racing, perhaps even punters, might not understand all the different elements that go into it. You know, as you mentioned, I've been to a few yards and just the different bits and pieces they do. I mean, yep. The things they've been using to school horses are barrels and all sorts, and what they've been creating is extraordinary what goes into it. And to show that off.
Yeah.
You know.
And be proud of it and be proud of what we've got and, you know, what they've built, really. Yeah. Do you remember there was that story, I think it was William Muir and Chris Grassick, they had a protester or someone who disagreed with horse racing, come and visit the yard. And now she's actually gone full circle and follows one horse who she built a particular relationship with and follows that horse to the races. So that just shows you how powerful these things can be.
Yep, and we'll go over to you, Pete. What on earth is happening in Newmarket?
Yes, well, I am born and bred in Newmarket, so I am one of these selfish people that's referred to in the letter. It's a tricky one, right? It's not as straightforward as it seems. And I completely understand Charlie's frustration and why he's felt the need to voice that view in a letter that was sent to William Jarvis to begin with and subsequently sent on to trainers in Newmarket. I'm not sure he went about it in the right way. I'm not sure slagging off other Newmarket trainers is a particularly conducive way to get people to follow you. I think probably on reflection, he would consider that probably wasn't the best route to go down and maybe a more tactful approach should be taken. I was just saying, I mean, in the end, all right, everyone's pulling in the same direction, but they're also, you know, competing against each other. So, you need to bring everyone together in a leadership way. So, I mean, that's the first thing to point out. So I'm not sure, whilst the message was right, I'm not sure it was necessarily delivered in the right way.
I guess you could say, Pete, though, that he does a lot behind the scenes. And I'd be surprised if that was the first we'd heard of those sort of conversations, no?
I think there is definitely some prodding behind the scenes, but I'm not sure everyone's been prodded.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean? So, yes, certain people would be desired and pushed for, and you know, let's try and work behind the scenes, back channeling or whatever it's called, to try and get them on. But if you're struggling for numbers, you know, there's other places you could go to if you want the numbers. Do you see what I mean? If it's particular people you want, then that's, you know, perhaps you have to write a letter because you're so frustrated you don't know what to do. If there's other people you want because you just want to get the numbers up, perhaps, you know, there's other ways around to do it. But I'm not disagreeing per se with the contents of the letter. Say, just perhaps on reflection, you might think it was not necessarily the right way to go about it. So that's the first thing. The other thing is, it's obviously, I think Gay Kelly made a good point in the sense that, you know, it is often the same people, and these people have to deal with the extra costs of staffing. You know, a lot of places are struggling for staff, like we know. So maybe the trainers and stuff are going to have to put in extra work to do this. Yes, okay. You'd say, well, it's supposed to be for the greater good, but there's still someone who's got to go and do the work, set up beforehand, clean up afterwards. You know, a lot of trainers in Newmarket are smaller yards, so they might go through the rigmarole of opening and get very few people through the doors, which, you know, you have to wonder why it's necessarily beneficial for them to do it. Did you see what I mean? It's not necessarily a case of everyone's being selfish and nobody wants to open the doors. And
do you think there needs to be a bit more of a strategy behind this then and organised in a different way? As Alice Haynes said, we need to change about how we're looking at it.
It could be, look, there's a hell of a lot of yards in Newmarket, and Newmarket is relatively big. So in the end, most people will want to go and see Simon Ed Christopher's horse, and they want to go to Godolphin Rehoming and see Roger Varian, won't they? I mean, these are the big yards with the big horses. So perhaps there is a better way to structure it. Perhaps there is I think you talked about a rotor, or, you know, you can stagger opening times or something like that, perhaps, to get people in and around that way. Something like that might work. The other aspect of it is that we talked about Nicky Henderson, the Lambourne Open Day, which is great. But for all that, he's a wonderful horse. Constitution Hill is a gelding and doesn't have a great huge amount of value, going forward, does he? Whereas, you know, we're getting into the autumn, and going between yards can sometimes, you know, bring across illnesses and what have you. And maybe some of these yards are apprehensive about, you know, as we're getting in towards the end of the season, you know, horses getting poorly from other stables. You know, that's a risk when you've got potential stallion prospects in your yard. So, you know, again, that's probably a smaller point, but it's not, I don't think it's as black and white as Newmarket trainers can't be bothered to open up. Aren't they all terrible people?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. And some interesting points as to why it might happen. Maddie, we'll just finish with you. Mentioned National Racehorse Week, which is coming up. I mean, just sum up, it's a huge opportunity for people to go and see horses. And it's not just in Newmarket. I mean, you can see pretty much Wales, Scotland, England, all over the country.
Yeah, and loads of different initiatives as well, as yard visits and sort of community engagement projects and things like that. So, yeah, definitely get involved. Obviously, Great British Racing, big sort of powerhouses behind that. I'm sure if you visit their website, obviously we'll be covering it as well in our newspaper, some of the things that you can do. I think it's very good for us, isn't it, really, to get out into nature and go and see horses and just see how our sport works, you know, and enjoy it. So it's a great opportunity, shouldn't be missed. Make sure you make the best of it wherever you are.
Perfect. James, I was looking at the National Racehorse Week website this morning. I think there's over 100 events on, you know, trainer yards, rehoming places, that sort of thing. I think 56 are booked up. There's spaces on others, places like Richard Newlands, Grand National winning yard. I think there's some places at Fergal O'Brien's as well. So I think they're free to go to. So if people want to go, they should go on the National Racehorse website and get along to that.
Fantastic. He summed it up better than I could have done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, completely free. So do make sure you check that out. And what's also free is £500 worth of free bets if you visit racingpost.com/freebets. Here's more. And our final story, and a bit more upbeat than the ones we've had already. We have found out the five finalists for the Racing Post's People's Champion. This is a series we've been running to find out who is your favourite racehorse of all time. And we are down to the final five following a whittled down process over a couple of weeks. You've been polling in on Twitter, and the final five are as follows. Denman, Desert Orchid, Frankel, Corto Star and Red Rum. They are our final five. Over National Racehorse Week, we will profile the horses. We'll then have a final vote to decide who is the favourite of a favourite. So I thought I'd go and see what our two experts thought. Now, before we go into that, there is some betting courtesy of Star Sports. Desert Orchid is 6-4, Corto Star 13-8, Frankel 7-2. That's a big prize, isn't it? Red Rum 7-1, Denman 12-1, and four jumpers, you may have noticed, and just over 3/4 of our semi-finals were jumpers as well. Pete, you're talking about flat racing in Newmarket. It's all about the jumpers, Pete, I'm afraid. We'll go to you first, Pete. Is that the right final five? And who do you think is going to come out on top? And who do you think should come out on top?
Oh, well, it's the scandal. See the Stars isn't involved in the final five. You can't trust the public to come up with the right answer on anything. So that, I'm very disappointed he's not there. Who do I think will win? I think, of course, the Star will win. You know, he was a wonderful racehorse. He achieved so much over all sorts of distances. He got comeback story, probably two comeback stories, winning the Gold Cup after being beaten, and then, you know, that final season with the Betfair chase and what have you. Lots of people remember that, and, you know, if we're polling on Twitter, I'm sure a lot of people will be drawn into him, and quite rightly. I completely understand that. Those people would be wrong, of course, because they should be voting for Frankel, because Frankel is the greatest horse on that list. He should be the people's champion. He is a wonderful continuing asset to the sport in so many ways, and, you know, the story around it, I know we're talking about the horse specifically, but the story around it was like nothing there's ever really been in my time dealing, you know, reporting on racing, which is a long time now. So Frankel should be the winner. You're quite right to identify him. It's good value at 7-2, and I'm sure there'll be a flurry of cash for him now.
Sure, okay. Maddie, do you think you've got the winner for us?
I think, to be honest, James, we have to acknowledge here, you and I are the romantics. We're the jumpers we've got the jumpers running through our veins, whereas Pete is the more hard, cold-nosed, cold-nosed flat guy. No, I'm joking. But I do think that's almost a replica of what we've seen in these polls. The jumps are very popular. I think Autostar should win. I think he was favourite with another firm when it was priced up earlier on, and I think he was the rightful favourite just because he had such charisma, if that's a word you can use to describe a racehorse. You know, his idiosyncrasies, the way that he would often plough into the last fence. You know, people would doubt him. He would build anticipation every time he ran. And we should mention his rivalry with the Great Denman, who's also a nominee on our list. And just the joy that brought throughout those years and that final year when, you know, everyone was saying Paul Nicholls, he should have retired him, this horse shouldn't be going on any longer, and they just proved all the doubters wrong. It was just absolutely magical. I don't think that you can ask for any more to engage and you know, we talk about Newmarket Weekend and just get people involved than a story like that. I think it was magnificent, and I expect he will reign supreme. It is interesting, the sort of questions it poses, isn't it? I mean, obviously they were in different semi-final groups, so if you would have shuffled those around, you could have ended up with a See the Stars or with a totally different result. But I do think it speaks to the heart that jumps often has behind it, and maybe the longevity as well. You know, we did see Frankel into his four-year-old season, of course, but that's still not going to compete with the likes of Corto. Desert Orchid, legend. It's just nice to take a trip down memory lane, isn't it? And sort of celebrate these great horses.
Yeah, it is. And as we said, I mean, that's three quarters of the semi-finals with jumps. It's quite extraordinary. And a great result for the West Country as well so far.
You
so
had to get that in there, didn't you?
Yes, I absolutely was desperate to get that in there. I think I'm with you Corto Star. I think if you look at, I've been looking at some of the polls and the stats and the trends, and his voting seems pretty good, and he's taken on some good. I mean,
some of the quotes are lovely, though, aren't they? Hearing from people, Racing Post readers, why these horses are so special to them, it really does. It makes you feel lucky to be in an industry like this and to have similar interests as people. And I really appreciate that, because I think sometimes we can get lost in the sort of ever-rolling nature of racing. So it's nice to look back and reflect on what these performances meant to people.
Yeah, and I think the other key with the jumpers as well is that they have been around a long time. So I think people would have seen their different stages and perhaps, I mean, a lot of people who would be voting by a Twitter poll are probably going to be a bit younger, so they would have grown up watching Corto Star, and that would have been part of their way into the sport. And I think the other key thing with him is there's nothing better than a Titanic clash, and the Counter Star Denman was just an epic. So I'm going to ask you an even more difficult question, Maddie.
Oh, gosh.
And Pete, you're going to get this as well. Who is your people's champion? It doesn't have to be one of the five. Who is your people's
champion? I've already
champion?
Asked this question on this, answered this question on this show before, and he's not even nominated, which is an absolute disgrace, but it's got to be the Mighty Thistle, correct, for me. As you would know, over the years, I used to pester James for updates constantly, being our West Country correspondent on the Great Thistle Crack. If you know me at all, you'll know I'm absolutely obsessed with the horse and I love him to bits. So, yeah, came along at the right time. I think that's, as we've mentioned, that's the personal experience for a lot of people. It's whether these horses, where they struck them and where those people were at that time in their life. And for me, he was the best.
Okay, well, Stable Native River for me. Amazing horse, lovely attitude. Remember seeing him win that Gold Cup. It's probably the best day I've had on a race course. Pete Scargo, what have you got for us? Who is your people's champion?
An entirely self-centred one, a horse that very few people will know or have heard of. Horse my old man trained called Bobby Charles. He was a chestnut horse with a huge white face, four white socks. He's incredibly characterful. He won plenty of races, including with a certain Frankie Dettorion at Folkestone. Got a flying dismount at Folkestone one day when Frankie rode him in a classified race. There you are, that dates it. He was a lovely character. He'd come in and immediately as you went into the stable, he'd start to try and eat your clothes. He came back from bad colic to be able to come back to the race as well. Lots of character, lovely horse, was around for years. And again, you know, even though I grew up in a yard, racing wasn't much of an interest to me until I was getting in my teens. And that's when Bob came along. And we still call horses with big white faces Bobs now, because he was a wonderful character. And you know, he's he's everything that you sort of you want in a horse. Okay, he wasn't as good as the horses that are in the final, and say almost no one would have heard of the horse, but he was just, you know, he was courageous. He was he'd give everything for you. He was a lovely person. And there's something I've written about it before, but obviously we all want to be involved with horses who are talented, horses who can do amazing things on the racecourse. But there's something really special about an animal going out and wanting to give its all for you. Something, you know, it's going out there and it trying its hardest and really straining every sinew and really wanting to be your friend and on your side. So that was Bob. So Bobby Charles is the people's champion. And if he was in the vote, he would have won.
Perfect. Right. So it's time now to name our front page. And we've had a good choice from all round. Starting off with yours, Maddie, Open Weekend, a really good story.
Got my pitchfork out.
You definitely did. and we've heard a lot of really good reasons by Pete. But I just think that it's a bit of a negative story to be on the front page, especially given what else is going on in the game. And who knows, it may be a success. It always seems to be. Pete, the gambling review, lots of talk this week. But the action's going to come this week, really, isn't it? So I think that we're going to have to wait for that, I'm afraid. And Pete, I think you've sold us on Bob. I think Bob has almost brought me and Maddie close to tears here in the studio. What an absolutely legendary horse he was. And Frankie Dettori riding for the Scargos. Who would have known? A great revelation. So I think on that basis, the People's Champion and Bob are going to make this week's front page. Do make sure to join us again next week for the next series of The Front Page. I want to say my thanks to Maddie and Pete for joining me here. And we'll be back next week for an episode of The Front Page. Goodbye.